episode.
Of Umamiisms.
Your favorite podcast.
Everybody's favorite podcast.
Of course.
Sabrina, would you like to introduce today's episode?
I would love to. So, today, which is the second day of January of the new year.
Technically.
Yeah. We decided what better thing to do than look back on the year that sucked, because, of course, that's what we do.
Dwell.
Exactly, that's the word. We dwell. So we decided to do a look into our 2020 movies, you know, what we've seen, what we have seen, that's it, really.
That's a horrible sentence.
But you know what I mean. And it's probably good to point out that, not all of these are actually movies that came out in 2020. They're just movies that we've seen for the first time in 2020. There are actually some fairly old movies in here that we've just not seen before.
Or like we sat down and properly watched.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this should be fun. Basically, it's just us talking about movies for another however long this episode is.
Pretty normal.
You guys are used to that now, right?
Okay, ready?
Here we go.
Okay, so the first official movie of the year that we saw in January, do you remember last January?
All I remember is that we were so naive.
I know.
Had no idea.
We were blind. Or not even that. We were, what's the word?
Hopeful.
Yeah. We saw Birds of Prey in January.
Originally titled Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
I'm really upset that they took that part out of the title.
Yeah, that was what made it exciting.
So we got to see this movie a week before the official release date, which...
A crazy story, really.
Right, and as we go along, you'll kind of see that this has happened a couple of times this year.
Yeah.
But this first one happened because I... was still the ambassador of charge.
We were still at school.
We were still at school, and I was still the ambassador of charge. So I was getting emails because I was listed as the president of this organization from other clubs and stuff. And so I got this email saying, we're having a free screening. Tell your friends.
A free early screening.
Tell your friends. Pass it along. And, of course, I sent it to Sabria. And I'm like, is this a scam? Mm-hmm. Is this real? And she's like, I don't know. And then I replied saying, well, I registered for it, so you might as well register also. I got a ticket and everything, and it was a couple weeks before the actual date. And then the day comes, I had a charge workout, so then I went to the auditorium right after. I was really gross because I was just yoga'd.
It was literally in a classroom. Like, I had a class.
It wasn't a classroom. It was an auditorium.
It was a lecture hall. I had a class lecture hall. In there.
Okay, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
But not a classroom. Like, when you think
I had a class in it.
Yes, I know. You had a lecture in
okay,
it.
Okay, fine.
And when I got there, there was a line.
A long line.
And I was like, how did all these people hear about this? I was still half convinced it was not real.
Yeah.
But we waited in line. We got our bags checked before going in. And then we watched the movie a week early.
Really good time, actually.
It was good. A good time. And I love that movie. Yeah. We talked about it in our Bad Guys episode, but Harley Quinn is my favorite bad guy.
I think you talked about it in the Girl Power episode, too, probably.
I think so. Yeah, I loved that movie, and I think it has a funny story, too.
And actually, we were just talking to Daddy about it the other day, because he's been, like, going into the basement just watching movies by himself, and he, I guess, watched it by himself, and he was like, it wasn't very good, but I can get why Xanab would like it. It's definitely a Xanab movie, and I think that's pretty right. Like, from the killing to the glitter, like, that's got Xanab's name written all over it.
There we go.
Well, you should be so proud.
I'm not surprised.
Okay, the next film, still January. This is very special because it's a documentary, and I'm sure all of you listeners are like, Xanab and Sabria? Watch a documentary? What? And then you'll hear that it's Miss Americana, the Taylor Swift documentary, and you'll be like, oh, I understand.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So, I remember I came home, I think we were home for the weekend and we watched it.
Yeah.
And we got Only the Young, the song, which ended up being like an anthem during the election, too. So, it lasted. And it was...
Wow, yeah, like literally 11 months later.
And I think it also just goes with Taylor Swift's evolution because she is now like, who cares what other people think? Like, I'm doing what I believe in and this is what I think. And you see like how... After years, so many people were trying to tell her, just stay quiet, just be unproblematic, and now, now look at Taylor Swift.
Yeah. We'll come back to her too, don't worry. But also, about this movie, I think it was really cool because it was like, Taylor Swift basically by Taylor Swift, you know what I mean? Like, it was the first time that it was her telling her own story that wasn't through, like, a song, where usually you read other people's articles or their views of her kind of a thing. And this was her and, you know, the director, but it was her way of portraying herself, which was cool, and I think that was really good for her.
Good point, good point.
Thank you, I try.
It also premiered at Sundance.
Yes, the only reason to have gone to Sundance last year, which I didn't go, but, you know, that would have been the only year worth going.
So to all the people who are like, oh, you don't watch real movies, and you're not very cultured,
blah, blah, blah. You don't do anything that would go to a film festival.
You're wrong.
You're so wrong, so wrong. Also, I was going to say about Miss Americana, also really cool, was we got all these little backstage kind of scenes about, like, the making behind her songs, which was really fun. I mean, some, like, you know, we'd seen before from older songs, but then we got to see, like, the making of The Man, which was really cool, making of Only the Young, which was really cool, just really cool. And I think that was the first step of multiple Taylor Swift steps 2020 of her just making it her year, you know? Yeah.
On to February.
Now, here's a real Oscar movie. Like, go us.
I know! Yeah.
Jojo Rabbit, directed by Taika Waititi, our favorite person. I mean,
ever.
Pretty much, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, we watched this movie at the theater while the Super Bowl was happening.
Yeah, that sounds like us.
I know.
It was just really good. Crazy, you know, chaotic, absolutely.
In
the most Taika Waititi way, mm-hmm. You know?
Because Taika Waititi, who is Jewish, literally played Hitler.
And I think the only way Hitler ever should be played, really, but, you know, nobody else could do it.
No.
Only he could have done it, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's a real roller coaster of a movie, though. Like, you'll be laughing so hard one second and then, like, literally crying the next.
And you'll be confused. You're like, I can't believe I'm laughing at this.
World War II movie.
Is it bad that I'm laughing at this right now?
Probably.
But it was all like satirical, and yeah. So I think that was the intention.
Yeah. It had a good cast too.
The kid was adorable.
So cute.
Both of the kids were so cute.
What was the
cute.
Other one? It was like the fat one. He was so cute.
Both of
the
kids.
I think his name was Porky or something like that.
I think so. But both of the kids yeah. were so adorable.
Scarlett Johansson did a really good job. Mm-hmm. What's his face? Oh. Sam Rockwell did a really mm-hmm. good job. Taika obviously did a really good job. It was a really well-done movie. Oh, the Hail Hitler guy?
Yeah. I don't think you can say that.
If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. That's a hilarious scene. If you haven't seen it, literally look up Jojo Rabbit Hail Hitler scene.
Stop!
This
makes
so
me uncomfortable.
Funny, and it's purposely funny. Taika Waititi was like, let me show you just how stupid the Nazis were, how often they had to say this. It is so funny. It's like, what, like over 30 times in the span of a minute? Hilarious.
Okay, so, also in February, Sabria had this crazy opportunity. Remember how I said during the Birds of Prey stuff, like, this happened a couple of times where we got random chances to see movies early? Onward was another one.
It was really crazy. I actually remember exactly where I was where I got this email from, like, my editors and stuff.
I remember exactly where I was when you texted us about it.
I got this email, and it was from this guy named Dallas, who actually had a lot of impact in our lives.
We love Dallas.
Yeah. He sent this email to the Michigan Daily, and it was like, oh, I work for this company that does a lot of marketing for movies, particularly in Michigan. And he was like, I don't know if you've heard about this Pixar movie coming out called Onward.
Obviously, we had heard of it with Tom Holland
yeah.
and Chris
yeah.
Pratt.
He was like, but if any of your film writers would be interested, we'd love to have somebody interview the director, Dan Scanlon. And
he's from Michigan.
He's from Michigan, yeah. And I was... I'm really good about this whole, like, responding really fast. So I literally immediately texted, and I was like, I'd love to do it. I was like, please let me. And they're like, okay, you have to go to this early screening. And it was during classes, so I just couldn't go. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to work. But then randomly, literally so randomly, we discovered that, which it was Imagine in Canton, I think, right? Or in Novi?
Yeah.
It was an Imagine that was just randomly doing, like, a somewhat early screening, like, 2 days early, and it only needed to be, like, 1 day early.
The point is, Sabria had to see it early to do the interview,
yeah.
and the interview was happening before the official release date.
So we randomly got to see it. We bought tickets, got to go, watched it, and then I got to interview the director. Very cool, in this very strange, quirky Michigan cafe sort of place.
Yeah, I was the chauffeur, because Sabria doesn't drive, but I was
you're
literally...
You're welcome.
I was... sitting on this couch, and this really nice lady kept bringing out these carrot muffins, and I, because you know that, like, usually it's warm fruit, but warm vegetable more so freaks me out. But she was so nice, so I kept eating them, and I put like one them. In my purse.
But yeah, I got to interview him. It was really cool. But hold on, let's go back a second, because we're supposed to talk about the fact that when we watched it, it was me, Zainab, and Yusuf watching mm-hmm. this very, like, sibling-y movie as siblings together in the theater.
Really? Yeah. We're siblings.
And it was the last movie we saw in a theater, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I cried. Yusuf yeah. made fun of me.
Yes, he did.
But big fan. Oh, and then what happened? It's run time. Not run time. It's time in the movie theater got cut short because of Corona. And so yeah, they released it on Disney Plus
early. And we watched it again at home with Mama.
Yeah. I remember yeah. thinking I felt really bad. Yeah. Even though I don't know how any of this industry stuff works. I was like, Dan Scanlon worked so hard.
Yeah.
And it was probably, I think it was the first movie to be put on like this.
Probably.
Especially because when you were interviewing him, he also talked about the inspiration behind the movie.
Yeah, also very sibling-y, and about his dad, too, because the story is, you know, about the two kids whose dad...
Spoiler alert, just in
thank
case.
Thank you. The two kids whose dad died when the younger one was really, really little, and is about them trying to see if they could spend one last day with him, and Dan Scanlon was telling us
I'm gonna cry again, I just remembered how it ended!
Dan Scanlon was telling us about how it all came out of the place. Like, that's how he grew up with his older brother kind of fathering him, I guess.
Because his father passed. I don't know if you
yeah.
said that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I kind of thought it was implied, but there you go.
I don't remember what you said.
And so he was telling us about his relationship with his brother, too, and how his brother was, like, the biggest fan of the movie and was, like, promoting it. He had, like, a hat for it that he wore everywhere and stuff like that. It was really cool. I think that was, like, the first interview thing I got to do, right? That was the first one.
Yes!
And it was crazy. There were two other kids from two other Michigan college papers, and I was totally the most competent one.
Like, obviously. And I, of course, being the supportive older sister, took sneaky pictures.
Yeah. Oh, we'll come to another conversation about that. I'm taking sneaky pictures soon.
That was a cute movie.
Yeah, very good.
What month are we on now?
We are on March. And, okay, so this is the first...
March is when the world decided to, like,
that was so, yes, exactly.
You're welcome.
This is, I think, the first movie that, well, it didn't actually come out in March, or, like, in this time.
In 2020.
But we watched it then, and it was A Quiet Place.
Sabria, why did we watch A Quiet Place then?
You must all be wondering, you guys watch a scary movie?
More like, Sabria, why are you watching a scary movie when you're the chickeniest chicken that exists?
Literally, like, the day after my Dan Scanlon interview, I randomly woke up early. And I don't wake up that early, usually. It was 7 o'clock, and I looked at my phone, and I got an email at 1 o'clock in the morning from my editor, and it was somebody from a different, you know, marketing company talking about how when the first Quiet Place movie came out, John Krasinski did an interview with the Michigan Daily, and they wanted to have him do another one because A Quiet Place Part 2 was supposed to come out in March. And my editor was like, who wants to do it? And because I randomly woke up early, I immediately texted him. I was like, please, can I? I was like, I know I literally just did this other interview, but could I? And he was like, yeah. So we set it up, literally got to interview John Krasinski. Craziest experience of my life. It almost didn't work, remember? Yes. I had a technical difficulty in the middle, and I literally almost cried. I was like, this is the worst day ever.
But it worked, and I also took a sneaky picture of this.
And we weren't supposed to, so it's, like, off the record, as, like, our 100,000s of listeners hear that.
But he commented on, like, the weather behind
her.
He
was so nice, and I was, like, literally, the whole time, I was, like, I'm talking to Jim from the office, and, yeah, I was sitting in the sunroom, and he could see behind me, and he's, like, wow, like, it looks cold in Ann Arbor, and I was, like, it's cold, yes. It was, like, weather. But, yeah, we watched A Quiet Place. It was much better than I thought it was going
to
be.
It was also not what I was expecting it to be like at all.
Yeah. I think one of the things he told us was how Emily Blunt wasn't just his, like, colleague and, like, co-star. She was basically, like, he was like, she's basically the co-writer and the co-director and the co-producer and the co-this. And he's like, we literally would just sit on the couch and, like, talk about the movie and fix things that were wrong with it, which was one of the things I thought was really cool. And, yeah, there was just, like, a lot of cool stuff about it. And of course, this all happened in preparation for A Quiet Place Part 2. And then, like, literally, like, 3 days after the interview is when everything started to shut down. And we got an email from the marketing company that was like, we'd prefer if you would keep your articles like hold them until the movie officially comes out. And it's now January of 2021 and the movie still hasn't come out.
Well, so who knows? He was saying that a big thing of these movies is like the collective experience and stuff like that.
And I think it is one of those movies that's like very intriguing to see in a theater.
Oh my God. We watched it together alone in our basement. Yeah. And I was like afraid to breathe. Yeah.
I can't imagine how it would be in a theater with like popcorn and like drinks and stuff. Like I
don't think kids or like coughing. No, if people coughed, everybody would evacuate.
Yeah. But a really good movie. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to. I honestly thought I was going to have to pretend have liked the movie, but I actually enjoyed it. So, shocker, I guess.
Okie dokie. So,
remember how we said that there were some movies that we had seen for the first time this year, but were probably actually really old? This is one of them. Originally from 1989, that we finally saw in April of 2020. Why did I say it like that? 2020. Nobody says 2020. Was Dead Poets Society.
A little tidbit before we talk about the movie. Mm-hmm. And I guess Sabrina, too, went to the same high school that Robin Williams went to for, like, a year.
Yeah, I think he, I don't know if it was, like, he went to the school and then dropped out of school entirely. No,
I think he moved.
But did he, like, go to school after?
I don't know. But
probably should have looked
regardless of that, we know the inspiration of Mrs. Doubtfire.
True.
And
Dead Poets Society, the
teacher. We don't know him personally.
We don't know him either. Yeah.
We had the teacher who
was Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
But the teacher who the Robin Williams Dead Poets Society character was based off of was a teacher at the school who left before either of us were there. But still, like, we're very cool.
It's like,
cool.
This is probably the closest to a celebrity.
Hello, I literally just talked about talked to John Krasinski.
I forgot.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Dead Poets Society. Xana cried in this movie also.
I'm a crybaby and you're a scaredy cat.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll go with that. I think we're literally the last people to have ever seen this movie.
Well, we knew the references, or maybe the Captain My Captain reference.
I mean, we knew what it was, but yeah. we didn't really know what it was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Also, one of my friends who had seen it before me told me, she's like, Sabria, I'm so surprised that you guys haven't seen this, because the school itself in the actual movie was so similar to our school. I mean, like, dramatized a little bit. A little bit.
A little bit.
But when we were watching it, I literally was thinking, I was like, oh my God, this was, like, what we had to deal with.
My one thing is that I do not do poetry. And so it was hard for me to understand how all of these kids were like, oh my God, poems.
I wish you would all have seen what she just did, but okay. Also, did you know it's based off of a book? I didn't know that.
I did not know that either.
It won a bajillion Oscars, I think. So there's another Oscar movie for us. Wow. We are, like, cultured.
I know.
Man, people thought that we weren't. What were they thinking?
Who knows?
Okay, on to May. Okay, Xana, what do these people all have in common? Mark Wahlberg, Jason Isaacs, Gina Rodriguez, Zac Efron, Amanda Seyfried, Ken Jeong. Xana, what do they all have in common? Oh, also Ian Armitage and McKenna Grace.
Sabrina.
And Simon Cowell, in case you forgot.
I didn't. But I know what they have in common. So hold on. Before we reveal to you what they all have in common, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, please just remember how we said that we're very cultured and have watched a lot of Oscar-y movies.
Yeah.
So, in May of 2020, we watched Scoob.
Easily one of the best movies of the entire year.
It was so stinking cute.
So cute. Scooby-Doo has this nostalgic quality that anytime you watch any version of him, you're just like, this is it, you know? It's so good every time. And this movie, like, I know a lot of people that were like, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. It was not bad. It was great.
It's like for a new generation.
It was so cute. I actually really liked the 3D animated animation style.
It was cute.
Because they made Scooby so adorable. And, like, the cast is crazy. Like, how did they get Zac Efron to be Fred in a Scooby-Doo movie? Like, who could ever know? But I'm so grateful they did. And you know what the only thing I wish? I wish we had actually understood a lot of the other references. Like, because it was all about the old cartoons that we didn't watch. The Blue Falcon thing or whatever.
Yes.
And the little...
So, past creepy generation, feel free to explain.
Yeah, I think Mama tried.
You know who you are.
Yeah. Well, great movie, though. And I, like, sincerely recommend it as one of the best movies I think I saw the entire year.
Cute.
Very good. So, for some reason, like, throughout all of June, we, like, didn't really watch any movies, or they weren't, like, movies worth talking about, so we're going to just skip to July.
It seems like so long ago.
What even happened in June?
I have no idea.
July.
Hamilton!
July 4th, we watched Hamilton with burgers.
It came out on Disney Plus because originally it was supposed to be theatrically released in October.
This year's October.
October of 2021.
Yes.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. Yeah. I love you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he was like, well, pandemic. Well, people are home. Well, they have nothing else to do. Disney Plus. Also, just a fun fact. I'll look up how much it exactly was. But Disney Plus buying Hamilton, like the actual recording, it was like the most expensive cost for any one movie ever. It was like somewhere in the very high bajillions or something like that.
I'm sure that's factually correct.
I'll check, but keep talking.
I'm not surprised. So we watched this on July 4th, and we made burgers because we're very patriotic.
Yes, very American.
And we watched this movie about the, this play about, this musical?
Yeah.
About the Founding Fathers.
Also, side note, it was $75 million, believed to be the largest price ever paid for a single film acquisition, thanks IMDb. So crazy, but also so worth it.
Yeah. And after seeing it on stage, getting to see it like this was definitely different because it was the original cast, and it was so crisp and so beautiful.
It was 4K, I think.
And as a history major, I love it.
Yeah, it's so good. I wrote a review about this, too, and I remember one of the things that really struck me was it really kept its theater quality, but by going to, like, zooming in on the people and actually getting to see it straight up instead of from, like, the 1,000th row back, it just enhanced it and made it a theater production and a movie
with
together.
Topography.
Exactly. So it was like the best of every situation, I think. And I think I think it was probably one of the best things Disney Plus did.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, you know, they have a lot of other really good things going for them, but that was like the first big thing besides Mandalorian.
I think this is also one of the things where people were like, oh, Disney Plus has this. Let's get Disney Plus now.
And actually, funny story, Disney Plus, that week that it came out, they stopped the free trial.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. The same way I think HBO Max did for Wonder Woman, because they're like, we're not going to have them getting it for a month for the best movie that they'd actually pay for.
I did not know that.
Smart business decision.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so next, we are still in July. We watched Psych 2, Lassie Come Home. Is that what it's called?
Lassie Comes Home,
something like that. This was literal years after Psych ended, and quite a few years after the first movie.
But also, I'm kind of glad it came out now, because it's lasting. Do you
know
what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Also, it had Joel McHale in it.
Oh my goodness.
Which we didn't appreciate.
Side tangent. So, we watched Community during this quarantine, and now Ken Jeong was in Scoop, and now Joel McHale is in Psych, and now I see them in a completely different light.
They also have a podcast together, so they basically copied us.
Yeah. End of side tangent.
It wasn't like, it didn't have the exact quality that the original show did.
Everybody's old now.
But it was still good.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I honestly don't even remember all the details, but because it kind of just felt like we were watching Psych, you know? But I'm so glad they did it, if only because I miss Sean and Gus, like, every single day.
I'm excited for the next one.
Yeah, and we got to see Lassie again, who was barely in the first movie, so that was really fun. And they're just funny. They're hilarious.
I know.
They're so funny. On to August. We watched, on August 28th, Phineas and Ferb, the movie Candace Against the Universe.
Let me just say that when we were watching this, I remembered that there was another episode of Phineas and Ferb from when, because Phineas and Ferb was on when we were little.
Yeah, it was on for a long time, actually.
But, so this is the second time Candace has been on a different planet in outer space.
At least the second time.
At least the second time.
Yeah, she became the Queen of Mars
first.
Spoiler
alert.
Oops. Yeah, she became the Queen of Mars first.
There's a song.
Yeah. This was, like, I think kind of the quintessential pandemic movie, because it was literally made because the animators were at home and had nothing else to do, and they were like, why don't we just get the original voice cast back to, like, record some things, why don't we just animate it and do it while everyone's at home and release it on Disney Plus, and they did, and it was great.
It was another thing that we got to watch this year that was just, like, very nostalgic, reminiscent, and It was very, like, because, like, for example, I graduated from college and then I came back home.
Yeah.
It very much fit my narrative at this point in my life.
Also, I've always thought Phineas and Ferb was very clever as a show, but there were some things that were so good about this particular movie. I mean, for one thing, you get Dr. Doofenshmirtz singing about how being an adult is hard. Actually, how adulting, I think he used that word, is difficult. And then you also get this really trippy sequence that gets super meta, where, like, as they're traveling through, like, some vortex or whatever, they slowly strip down to be, like, the original storyboarded versions of the cartoon, and then just to, like... It's hard to explain. You have to watch it.
And it's funnier now that we're older and we understand these things.
But also, it's like, the ridiculous stuff is just as funny. Like, the aliens that they're talking about, when they sometimes exploded. I don't even know why, but they sometimes exploded. As one does. And when they exploded, instead of making, like, a poof noise, they made the noise Candace. Okay, who thinks no. Also, the word Candace was voiced by Tiffany Haddish, who I guess was like, what else do I have to do over this pandemic quarantine?
See, this movie was ridiculous enough, and I loved it.
And it was so Phineas and Ferb that it worked. It was great. Okay, September. We watched
Enola Holmes.
I was so glad that they finally made a movie out of this.
So, backstory, I read this book when I was 11. I read this book 11 years ago.
Oh, God, you're so old.
I know.
I read this book when I was 9 or 10. I did a project on it in school. I, like, had to draw Enola Holmes and everything. I was very proud of it, actually. And I remember thinking then, because they had been saying for a long time, oh, we're going to make a movie. Oh, we're going to make a movie. I remember thinking then, like, when is this movie coming out?
But, like, the wait was worth it.
It was so good.
They did such a good job. Mm-hmm. They had such a good cast.
That's one of the commonalities in all these movies we've been talking about. The cast, like, are, like, blowing my mind. Like, how'd they get these people to be in, like, movies like this? I don't know. But Henry Cavill was in it. Sam Claflin was in it. Millie Bobby Brown was, of course, in it. Helena Bonham Carter was in it. It was just, like, crazy. And it was so good.
But I think Millie Bobby Brown was amazing.
Yeah.
Totally. I love how they broke the fourth wall. I love the little, like, quips in there, and
it was also girl power.
It was also girl power, and just, like, it's a Sherlock Holmes branch, and it was, like, historically very appealing to look at.
Yeah, it was strange, because usually when you think of olden times London, it's all, like, gray, but it was very colorful.
It was very fall.
Yeah.
That was the color scheme.
Another fun fact about this movie is that once we watched it, Zainab and I were, like, stalking the guy who played Tewksbury. His name is Louis Partridge or something like that. We've been stalking him on Instagram to see his follower count go up, and it's, like, slowly but surely, like, the first date was he was at, like, 1 million.
And I think she was at, like, 16 million, and I was like, Sabria, he literally has 1/16 of her following. And then we were watching it increase, and I was like, wow, so proud.
Yeah, it was, like, 1 million then, and it's 6.7 million now. So, like, he's getting there.
Yeah. And if they keep up with the franchise.
Which I think they will. Also, I think they had such, like, a fun, good relationship on screen. Like, they were funny to watch in a good way. But yeah, also very good. Just actually surprisingly a lot of good movies this year.
I'm excited for the next one.
Yeah. Okay, I take back what I said about all these movies being good, because the next one was not.
It was really bad.
We had to watch in October this...
We didn't have to. Sabria wrote a review, so she had
to. That's a lie. Zana sent me the trailer for this on Instagram months before, and she was so excited to watch
it. Okay, yes, because it looked like a typical, like...
Rom-com-y movie.
Yes, but it disappointed.
It was bad. It's called Holiday. We probably should have said that.
Awkward.
Okay, just to be frank, I expected a lot better from Emma Roberts. I mean, she went from Nancy Drew to this. Like, that is not thriving, if you ask me.
Yeah.
It was just not good.
It had such potential to be such a basic rom-com Christmassy movie.
Yeah.
And it screwed that up. Like, how do you screw that up? That is the most basic formula that exists. Like, look at all of the Hallmark movies.
We were watching it with Mama, and afterwards she's like, I can't, like, I hate that you made me watch that. She's like, and then she was like, didn't want to watch anything that I suggested, because she's like, remember how you made me watch Holiday? And I was like, what did you want from me? It was not a good movie. I think it's probably the only bad movie that on this list.
What did you rate it?
Maybe 1 star, maybe 2. I don't actually, let's see. I gave it, drum roll please.
I can't do a drum roll.
1 star.
Good job.
I would have given it a half, but there's probably something about it that I liked. Was there?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I was just being nice that day.
Yeah, no. Do not recommend.
Don't watch it. Not worth it.
On to November.
Yet another movie that's old. We just hadn't seen before.
We've talked about seeing this movie a bunch, though, over
actually, the last Mama's year, the one who kept wanting us to watch it. We were like, oh, we will, and then we just never did. And
we also had to make sure we found, like, a made-for-TV version so that it would cut out the swearing and stuff.
But we watched it because I was writing about it for newspaper, and it's The Matrix. We're really bad about saying the names. The Matrix.
We're trying to build up, and then we forget.
Okay, how first to sum and
foremost,
this movie up.
Oh, I was going to say, first and foremost, we finally understand the references.
Yeah.
Like the memes.
The red and blue pill.
And the Matrix move.
They all know what we're talking about. You know what I'm talking about? It's literally so well known that it was in Mahuna.
Oh, God, stop.
It was.
I also liked, the fight scenes and
The guns, they the just, like,
guns, yes.
Like, yeah.
But, other than that, I was confused most
it's
of it.
It's so trippy.
Yeah.
I don't think we were made for trippy movies.
No.
We watch them a lot.
I barely understand normal movies, but then when you bring in time, space, timelines, I'm lost. Like, I'm gone.
Or, like, what's the word? The blah, blah, blah. What's the word? Simulation-y things. Like, that trips me up when you're not sure what's real and what's not real.
I hate those. Because I'm like, wait, is this real life? Am I real?
Yeah.
Are you real?
Literally.
Is anything real?
Yeah. It was a trippy movie, but I'm glad we watched it, if only because we finally understood the references in the Matrix episode of Teen Titans.
Yeah, that made it worth it.
It was hilarious.
However, the ending was disappointing.
Very disappointing.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember being upset.
Spoiler alert, I did it right. It's supposed to be like she kissed him and he came back to life and like romance prevailed.
Ugh.
Yeah, I think I gave it, let's see. I gave it 4 stars. I probably would have given it 4.5 had the ending not disappointed me. I don't think we are planning on watching any of the others because I don't think they're going to be as good. But yeah, I mean, that was, besides Speed, I think that's the only movie we've seen Keanu Reeves in.
Except that other rom-com.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Always
Be My Maybe.
Yeah. And frankly, I can understand.
Not a Keanu Reeves role, though.
I understand why he has, like, such a following because he was really good in this movie. And I kind of want to see John Wick now.
Yeah. I'll watch it with you.
Okay, maybe that'll be the next thing. So remember how I said back in January that this wouldn't be the last time we talked about Taylor Swift?
Let me just really quickly point out the fact that Taylor Swift gave us so much in 2020.
We have a lot to thank
her for. It's the only thing I'm thankful for 2020 about is the fact that Taylor Swift was in quarantine. And because she was in quarantine, all of these songs happened. Yeah.
Again, we really didn't do a good job leading up to this. But we're talking about the Folklore Long Pond Studio Sessions on Disney+. How do you even begin to explain how, like, amazing this was?
I think it was really nice just because it was, like, a reminder that the world isn't really over. Like, she's still doing her thing and she's making her music. And, yes, it's not the same. Like, we're not getting music videos as often and we're not getting the same, like, tour experiences stuff. And things like that, but she's still doing it and we're still getting it.
Yeah.
Even if it's not traditional, because everything about right now is not traditional.
For those of you who don't know what this is basically she took this time to record herself and like her collaborators from the Folklore album, recording herself singing all of the songs from Folklore.
And telling, like, the stories behind them.
And giving, like, the context and her inspiration and stuff like that. And it was just cool because one of the really interesting things about, like, being a Taylor Swift fan is that there's so much theorizing that comes along with it.
Time out, Sabria.
What?
That's a whole nother episode in and of itself.
Well, I was gonna say, there's usually so much theorizing. And for this one, she actually was like, here's actually what it is.
Yeah.
Which was nice and a kind of a change. Also, can we talk about how she did not even make it seem like another album was coming after this. You know what I mean?
It was like so tight-lipped. It was less than a month later.
It came out on Thanksgiving, and Evermore came out like 2 weeks later.
The 11th, yeah.
The 13th. No, her birthday's 13th. It was the 11th or 12th. Yeah, crazy, but really good, and we're just waiting for the Evermore one. At Taylor Swift, if you're listening to this.
And finally,
the last movie is December. I watched it this December. Xana watched it last December. Mm-hmm. It's Let It Snow, the Netflix movie, based off of the short stories by John Green, Maureen Johnson, and Lauren Miracle. All people that are, like...
from our childhood.
Kind of, yeah.
Let's talk about the cast first.
Well, we should say it's a movie that's basically, like...
Love Actually, Valentine's Day for teenagers.
Yeah. It tried to be that, at least.
Yeah. But the cast was weird. Not because they were all, like, big-named kids or anything like that, but because they can't come from so many different, like, cinematic backgrounds.
And in our own, like, lives, you know what I mean? Like, there is Jacob Batalon, who's Ned from the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies. Mm-hmm. There is Kieran Shipka, who is Sabrina in the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Netflix show. Mm-hmm. There is, what is his name from Descendants?
Sabria.
What's his name? I don't think I know it.
Hold on.
It's a, like a very easy name, actually.
Mitchell Hope.
Mitchell Hope from Descendants, which is like this random DCOM that we like weirdly liked. And then they had...
Shanique Moore.
Who is...
Miles Morales.
It had Odeya Rush, who is in Goosebumps, the Jack with Jack Black.
Isabella... Merced,
who is Dora in the weird live-action Dora movie that they made for some reason.
Joan Cusack.
Who is in
the randomest
so
things.
Many random movies. If anybody has seen the Kit Kittredge American Girl movie and wondered why Joan Cusack was in it, you're not the only one.
I loved Joan Cusack in that.
Yeah, she was so funny.
I know.
But this movie, it really did try to be Love Actually.
I think it was cute. I think that... It was a very... I watched this after I took my last set of finals, my fall semester, senior year, and I was watching it, and I was like, this is exactly what I needed right now. I needed a winter movie because it's winter break, and it's cute, it's lighthearted, it's what I needed.
I only gave it 2 stars because I thought it tried hard to be something that it wasn't, and because I wish they had spent more time on the people I actually liked instead of the people that I didn't like.
I don't think...
I did not like the Dora girl's character. I thought she was so annoying, and I wish they had spent more time with Kieran Shipka's character and Mitchell Hope's character, but they didn't. People literally just need to listen to me when it comes to making movie-making decisions.
Sabrina, just become a grown-up and work in the music industry, and then I mean, not the music industry, I mean the movie industry, and then they'll
working
have to.
Working on it, Xana, working on it. I know that there are, like, other movies that you're like, why did they not talk about this for December? Well, let me tell you. We didn't talk about Wonder Woman or Soul because Xana was dumb and didn't watch them.
I haven't been in a movie mood right now,
Xana,
thank you.
I told you, the podcast comes first.
Don't worry, I will be watching them soon. Especially
Soul
because,
is so
yeah,
cute.
Sabrina was saying I could learn something from Soul.
It's very existential, and I think it's kind of the existential that Xana needs instead of this one that, like, freaks her out.
Because I'm in an existential crisis probably like 80% of my life.
Yeah.
So, there you have it. Our year in movies. I feel like we definitely watched more movies, but I think these were the ones that stuck out the best. And I'm interested to see what the future of movies will be like. Just like with the opening of theaters, if that happens anytime soon. Big movies being released on streaming services instead. Honestly, I just want to see these movies.
I have a lot of thoughts about the future of the movie theater, movie industry. Go read my newspaper article about it, if you guys are wondering, which I know you all are. But yeah, basically, I just want to watch Black Widow in a theater very soon.
I want to watch James Bond.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's the end-all be-all for me. I just want to see Black Widow in a theater, and, like, once that happens, like, whatever else can happen happens. I mean, kind of. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that, like, lovely walk down memory lane in 2020, movie memory lane.
Maybe you have some movies you want to go see now because of this.
Like, Holiday.
Don't watch Holiday.
I mean, yeah, don't. It was bad.
Well, on that note.
Hope you loved this episode, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, bye!
Bye!
It'll work.
I think it's on.